Construction is and traditionally has been a key component of Arizona's economy, and a key component of construction is concrete. Our next guest says worldwide 10 billion tons of concrete are used each year, and much of that needs rebar to help reinforce it. But fibers are increasingly becoming more of an option, and they could be beneficial in boosting concrete's tension. Barzin Mobasher is a faculty member in ASU's School of Sustainable Engineering and the Built Environment, has been working on this for several years. He spoke with our co-host, Mark Brody.
The key point with fiber-reinforced concrete is that instead of using rebars placed at specific locations that the engineers calculate, what you would do is you would use much, much smaller fibers, which are of the diameter of, let's say, 1 millimeter or 0.5 millimeter, about quite small, and quite short. The length of it is no bigger than an inch. So that way the fibers can be mixed in the concrete itself. What happens here is that the strength of concrete can now increase in tension, and it can carry loads in tension. The fibers act like Band-Aid when cracks form, and that would allow us to use the tensile ability of the concrete and use it in the design process. The technology has been used for about 20, 25 years. People have been using it. What we have done is to try to develop equations and approaches based on the mathematics and mechanics of materials, in a way allowing engineers to kind of design an alternative system to rebars.
So is the goal then to be able to know where you need to have the fibers in the concrete or how distributed they have to be given a certain project?
Actually, the goal for us is to look at what is the life cycle cost and what's the initial value of the effort that goes into a project. And what we're looking at is that can we justify an extra expense at the beginning of the project by paying for the fibers, but then save down the road in terms of the speed of the project, the fact that we can quickly build it in terms of safety, in terms of traffic flow. I mean, the question is not necessarily in material A versus material B. The question is, how fast can we expedite the process so that we don't have loss of, you know, people losing time, getting stuck in the traffic? So the overall cost, I think, is what our objective is, to show how we can use the material in a way that its return is from some other avenues.
How is the construction timeline affected when you use the fibers as opposed to steel rebar?
If you have rebars, you have to do the engineering drawing. Then there are specific places that the rebars have to be placed. Then you have to carry the rebars, store it on site, move it. Then you're going to have labor, and the labor costs are going significantly high. So now these people have to place it, they have to tie it and use it in a way. Then you have to pour the concrete and finish it and everything. So with fibers, basically what you would do is the fibers are added to the truck that's delivering it. So you don't have to do any work in a way in the field. You significantly, 80% of the work that's done in the field is reduced. It's like the difference between baking a bread at home or just getting a bread from the grocery store. That's the idea and the difference between trying to do it yourself in the field or just basically having it delivered ready-made.
Because with the fibers, they're already, as you say, in the concrete. You just have to pour the concrete
and specify, yeah, and they're basically just, it's just added to the concrete mix by a conveyor belt, and then the weight and everything is dialed in, and then it just basically mixes in.
What are these fibers made of?
Well, you can basically use the fibers in the context of steel fibers or polymeric fibers. We can use natural fibers. We can use recycled type of materials as a fiber. And the whole point is just doing the calculations and experiments to know exactly how much capacity we get out of the fibers and then how much added tensile benefit we get from it.
It sounds like what you're saying is not only is it more cost effective probably to use these fibers, but the projects themselves will last longer, what you're building with them.
Yes.
And when they do need repair, you can do a small section of it as opposed to having to redo the whole thing.
Exactly. One of the biggest problems that we have is the corrosion of the bridge decks, the corrosion of the marine structures or in the marine environment. So basically the problem that we have is that with the fibers, we can keep the cracks smaller so that the chlorides and the road salt that's added, it doesn't penetrate as fast or doesn't cause the corrosion. When we look at our environmental structures, such as water treatment plants or wastewater plants, when we look at our pipes, that good major portion. I mean, we're talking about more than 10 to 15% of the water is lost because of the cracks that we have in our water distribution system. That would allow us to be able to significantly save and have a much more durable structure.
You mentioned that the upfront costs are a little higher with the fiber than the rebar, although there are savings over time. Given that the upfront cost is higher, does that make it a tougher sell to developers, to governments, people who are using this stuff?
I think the tides are changing. I think people are realizing that this material that was used for specialized type of projects, such as tunnel lining or mining areas, or very specifically high reliability type of systems, now we can get seismic benefit out of it because they're earthquake resistant, they're corrosion resistant. So it's becoming much more acceptable for people when they see that they can really benefit from it, because down the stream, the repair and maintenance costs are going to be reduced. I'll give you an example. An industrial floor, let's say you have a warehouse, and this warehouse, because of the heavy traffic, it's just basically you're going to get a lot of cracks. The cost of replacement and the cost of loss of business for replacement of the floor itself justifies using materials that are much more ductile and can carry a lot of energy.
It sounds like you want to get it more in buildings, bridges, things that use a ton of concrete that aren't using it now.
That aren't using it. Pavements. So many areas can benefit from it. But ultimately, what we have is we have an infrastructure problem with the maintenance of it. And we keep using the same old approaches. And maybe we need to start rethinking about designing things so that they would last 50 years or 60 years without us having to go back every 5 to 10 years and repairing.
Barzin Mobasher is a faculty member in ASU School of Sustainable Engineering and the Built Environment.